Al Kalponim in the end of Tisha B'Av is a Tainus. Every Tainus is a Yom Teshuva. Something the Maisa we need to take forward from Tisha B'Av with us. Something has to come along with us. And found a very interesting piece from Rabbi Yoshev, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that I wanted to share with you. It's reflections on the Haftorah of this coming Shabbos. The Haftorah begins in the 40th chapter in Yeshaya. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yemar Aleikheichem. The Rebbe Hashem comes to comfort us. Dabru Aleiv Yerushalayim. Speak to the heart of Yerushalayim. Bekiru Eleho. And call out, Ki Molot Spa, Ki Nir Tzavayno. The Oynesh has been completed. Ki Lokho Miyar Hashem, Ki Lok Ki Flayim Kuchachat Osel. We've been punished abundantly by the Rebbe Hashem. Kol Korei Bamidbar. There's a voice that cries out in the Midbar. Panu derech Hashem, clear a path to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Yashru ba'arova, make a flat road through the wilderness, Mesila l'Elokeinu, a path to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself. These pieces in this sefer were written, they were drushes that he delivered in the years 1948, 49, 50, in those few years. And what fascinated me is a lyrical quality. Such an intellectual person who lived his life by his intellect, there's a very lyrical quality to his drush. Dabru Alev Yerushalayim, Kiro Eloki Molot Svo, for a year's manna, the time has come to the Gula. Avalo Allah says, what is necessary for us to complete is called Koyre Bamidbar. A person that was so sensitive to the time in which he lived. They're beginning to appease Yerushalayim. Kashanishma Kayoim Koil. It's writing at the very time of the founding of Medinas Yisrael. Today we hear a voice. What is that voice that we hear? Miyastim Yeshuvim. They make new settlements. In the desolate parts of Eretz Yisrael. And we're starting to see it's being built. Bonayach merochok yabo. Your children are gathering from the distant places. So we're starting to hear Dabru Alev Yerushalayim. The Rebbeinu Shalom has turned to Yerushalayim. But what's lacking the Kol Kore Bamidbar, Avopanu Derech Hashem Yashu Arova Mesila L'Elokeinu, that it should become the abode of the Rebbeinu Shalom himself. In that regard, we're not even up to the beginning. It's as if our children didn't yet begin to come. Understood his time, the Jewish people are beginning to return to Eretz Yisrael. And yet the sense that we're still far from reaching that stage, that we are an abode, the place for the Shekhinah. And he quotes Yaakov Avinu, Kasher Yaakov Besof Yomav Rots Eloi Malavona Beis Hasher Yikra Eschem Ba'achris Hayomav. He gathered his children, and Chazal tell us that he wanted to speak to them about what will happen at the end of time, in the coming of Mashiach. How did he begin? He Osfu V'yagid Alechem, gather together. Ho Yukulchem Basifa Achas, you have to be united. That's the preparation for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to come. And he says, and that's why the Novi in this Shabbos that we'll read tells us, Dabru Alev Yerush, not Daber, Dabru, jointly, and Urikos Kol HaChoichos, all of us collectively. That's what's necessary. What did Yaakov Avinu wish to convey to the Jewish people? So we find in the Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah two things. Rab Simon Oimer, Mapolas Doig, Her Elohem, the downfall of the nations that have ruled over us. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Binyan Beis Hamikdash Her Elohem. He showed them the building of the Beis Hamikdash. And what did Rabbi Yehuda teach? That we may in fact break free of the servitude of the Golus. But Ein Zeh Pisaron Amushlam. This is not the final answer to the problem. That's a preparation for that which has to come subsequently, which is the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And when can this be? As Yaakov Avinu said, he ospo, if we manage to join together. If we can overcome the differences between ourselves, it doesn't mean that we don't have different views. That's not the essence of life. That's not a real life. In the realities of life, we will always have different views. The question is something else. The question is, do we have the tolerance and respect for someone that has a different view than I do? Do I view him as the same Oyver Hashem as I am? Or do I view him because he has a different idea, he's a lesser Oyver Hashem than I am? This Rabbi Sai, this is the Mageifa, the plague of Adar. It's been perhaps the plague that's haunted Klal Yisrael since our inception, but it's certainly the plague of Adar. The inability to give credence to someone else. He has a different view. He also observes the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah. Sincerely. Not a person that seeks to cut corners, but a person that truly follows great Talmidei Chachamim and approaches Torah in a very sincere and wholehearted fashion. And yet, do we accept him if he's different than we are? I want to share with you two pieces that I discovered last Elul in the Chassam Sefer, and they're so powerful, they become so meaningful to me that I would say it's a little bit become a mantra for me, these two pieces in the Chassam Sefer. I discovered here in the Beis HaKnesses last Elul, I came in the afternoon to do my achonis for Yom HaNarom, to prepare the droshes for Yom HaNarom. And I looked up on the top shelf, and I saw two volumes, Droshes Chassam Sefer. I never saw such a Sefer in my life. I took it down. And I started looking through the Sefer. And I found two pieces which are relevant, particularly today, to Tisha B'Av. And two different places in the Sefer, but the theme is exactly the same. He writes the following. That we have on Yom Kippur an idea of Tosfos Yom HaKippur. Said, what is the nature of Tosfos Yom HaKippur, and we have to add to the day? So he says, this is similar to a person that became Tomei Tmeimes. He came in contact with a corpse, with a deceased person. So what does he have to do to become Tor? So there are really two steps. He first has to go to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen has to sprinkle upon him by Yom HaShlishi, by Yom HaShvi, and then he has to go to the Mikvah, by Yom HaShvi. If he goes to the Mikvah, and prior to that, the Kohen has not splashed the water of the Poradum on the Yom HaShlishi, by Yom Ravi, it's to no avail. If the water was splashed on him, and he doesn't bother to go to the Mikvah, he's also not going to become tough. So he says, the same is true. We find in the last Mishnah, Masechta Yuma, talks about the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, that Mishnah. So the Mishnah cites two psukim, and the Tosfos Yontif already picked up on the fact that there's an element of contradiction between these two psukim. One pasuk states that Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, that we have to go to the Mikveh in effect. V'asheni v'zorakti aleichem mayim tahorim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, splashes water upon us, which would seem Hazor is before Tefillah. So what's the Pshat? So he says the Pshat is that if we wish to be able to appropriately do tshuva on Yom Kippur, so we need first that the Rabbeinu Shalom has to be Zorakti Aleichem Tumayim Tahorim. The Rabbeinu Shalom has to provide us with the measure of Tahara. And that Tahara empowers us to be able to do tshuva appropriately on Yom Kippur. And this is the very beginning of Yom Kippur. We need that injection from the Rabbeinu Shalom. And if we receive it, then we can be Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, go in effect as it were to the Mikveh, to purify ourselves with tshuva, and the Rabbeinu Shalom will accept our tshuva. And here the Chassam Sofer writes something that I do not believe there's anyone else other than the Chassam Sofer that would write, that could write. says this is the pshat in the Gemara Numa. The Gemara Numa says that Bayis Rishon was destroyed because they violated the three cardinal sins: idolatry, immorality, and murder. The second Bayis was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And the Chasam Sofer wonders, Sinas Chinam does not appear to be such a great avera that it should have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And they certainly had the ability to do tshuva, both from Sinas Chinam and from other chatan. So why exactly, if they did tshuva from all the other chatan, because of a chet per adam l'chavera was enough to be machar of the Mikdash? It seems very bizarre. He says, the pshat is very simply that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is echad. Echad implies achdus, there's a unity. And as he writes in Chumash Dvorim Vayibi Shur and Melech, when is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam our king? If we are united, then the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wishes to associate with us. If we allow ourselves to live a fractious life, fragmented and in machlokes with each other, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is not too anxious to deal with us. And as such, the result of that is we cannot do tshuva for the averus chamuras that we did. If we were mechala Shabbos, if we did avay dezora, if we did things we're not serious averus, and we want to do tshuva, but we will not have the means to do tshuva. If the sinas chinam, the Rabbeinu Shalom will not give us the vezarakti aleichem ayim tahirim. And therefore we are mired, quagmired, in the major chatam that we've done. We have no means of doing tshuva for them. So yes, in Bayis Sheni we tried to do tshuva. We were different than in Bayis Rishon. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't accept our tshuva. Our tshuva was incomplete. It did not have the necessary input of Tara from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to empower us to do tshuva. And therefore, we brought about the destruction of Bayis Sheni. This is what he writes in one place. In the second place, some Sofer, this is the drosha of Chavdet. This drosha is from Chav Zayin Elul and Tov Kuf Pei. And he turns his attention to the Haftarah. Kayomar Hashem kol baromo nishmo v'hi b'chis amrurim rochim v'vakol b'neho me'yano lihi nochim b'neho ki einenu. This Haftarah. Without it, it's a very lengthy piece. And he says, Rochel Imeinu was concerned that perhaps we'll get lost in the Golus. We'll lose our association with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah and be unworthy of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam redeeming us. So the Rabbeinu Shel Olam said, that do not be afraid of. Why? Because the Novi in Yecheska wrote, lo biyod chazok em lo chaleichem, that if we stray too far from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, what will he do? It was Maimir Aleya Melech Koshek Haman. He'll bring a Melech that will deal with us as ruthlessly as Haman. Umuchrochim Loshuk. And we'll be forced to return to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to escape our plight. And therefore he told him, Mini Koylech mi Bechi Venayach mi Dima Vishovu Me'eretz Yo'oye. That one way or the other, whether of our own volition, by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's prompting, we will return to Eretz Yisrael. That's guaranteed. And that's why she writes, the Novi Yirmiyah writes, Veshovu Me'eretz Oyev. And he quotes a Rambam in this regard, in Sanhedrin, the first prayer, Sheyuch Aliyas. This is just an awesome piece of Ruach HaKadosh, of the Rambam and of the Chasam Sofer. Sheyuch Aliyas, it can quite well be, she is Katsu Yisrael Yachtav L'Eretz Yisrael L'Yerushalayim, there will be a huge ingathering of the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, achbeli binyan beis hamikdash, before the building of the beis hamikdash. Sam Sofer died, Rabbi Yisai, 170 years ago. There was the beginning of the movement of Shivas Tzion, basically, did not exist in any modern sense that we know. But what will be the problem? The problem is we won't have the beis hamikdash yet. When we came into Yeshuva, we is dapku b'Hashem. If we draw closer to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, then yesh tikvah l'achrisach. Then there's hope for the Jewish people. Ultimately, the Hayinu Shachrisam yeh shalom b'neihem. that through the fulfillment of the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah, we'll find a way to have shalom with ourselves, with one another. And this is the ultimate good for the Jewish people. Where they are shalom shiyeh beineinu, and through the shalom that will exist between us, yoshuvu bonim legvulam. What's v'shuvu bonim legvulam? Some say for rights. V'yivne beis amidosh. V'lo yiyeh sina beineinu, kizman churban by Hashem. That we will not suffer the afflictions of the by Hashem. We'll live in peace with each other. And this is what comforted Rachel Imenu. That even if the path back there to Israel will be a difficult one, even if it comes about through Melech Kosher Kahaman, but that the posterity of the Jewish people is assured that they will return to Eretz Israel and will find a way back to the Rabbeinu Shalom and back to each other's hearts and merit the building of the Beis HaMikdash. It says, Veshovu Meretz Oyev, it's before the Mikdash. When we return, the koil, the hadim, the reverberations that Rabbi Yosher referred to. Bonayach merochok yavo. The Jews are coming from all over the world to Eretz Yisrael. And in there somehow we'll find a way to the Rabbeinu Shalom and to each other. And merit the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Some Sefer is equally strong in this prat. What do we need? Our problem, the sinas chinam, is what doesn't allow us to find the Rabbeinu Shalom in tshuva, and doesn't allow us to find each other, to merit the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So this is what we need to turn our attention to in Tisha B'Av. Spend the day considering our plight that was just taking place. We need to think about what we have to do. We find Chazal and the Rambam assembles them all together in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. It talks about the mitzvah of Gemilas Chasodim. We find two statements in Chazal. The Masechta Shabbos we find, Zekeni v'anbehu, Mahu Rachum, just as the Rabbeinu Shalom is a Rachum v'chanon, he's compassionate. Afato hayei Rachum v'chanon. We have to be compassionate. There's a second Chazal which states that we find, if we look at the beginning of the Torah, the Rabbeinu Shalom is a Malbish Arumah. He came to Adam Arishon and Chava v'yisparu alei seino. He provided them with clothing. He's a Malbish Arumah. The Rabbeinu Shalom, we find at the end of the Torah, is an undertaker. He's a Kober Mason. V'yikbar Yisrael Bagad. He buried Moshe Rabbeinu. He was involved in acts of Milas Chesed. So we have two formulations of the Mahu Rachum. And the Rambam, in fact, incorporates both of them in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. In the House of Risk, they made the following observation. That these are not mutually exclusive. And in fact, they are complementary. One talks about the acts of kindness that we have to do. We see a person in need, he's not properly fed, he's not properly clothed, there's a mes mitzvah, there's no one to bury him, it's to roll up our sleeves and do what's necessary. But that still does not assure that I am a very refined person. I may in fact be a person, in terms of my own midas, I'm a harsh person. I'm not a feeling person. I'm not a compassionate person. But I have a well-developed intellect. I understand what the world needs to exist. I understand the fact that there's a person that's in poverty. He doesn't have what to eat. I can go to sleep and sleep very well. It doesn't disturb my menucha. But intellectually, I know it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing that there's someone that's, that doesn't have what to eat. So I'll go and I'll send him food to eat. But I have no particular compassion for him. The second formulation, Mahu Rachum, just as the Rabbeinu Shalom is a Rachum, Afato Hayei Rachum V'chanum, the Rabbeinu Shalom is inherently compassionate. And the call to us is to be compassionate, to feel for the plight of that person. If he is suffering, then I'm suffering. But that's not enough. that I merely suffer with him. I can go to sleep and suffer. There was a Rav where I lived. His name was Rav Levin, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. I believe he was a Slobodka Talmud. When I knew him, served the early 70s, he was a Yid in his 80s already. He had been a Rav in the Soviet Union. He'd been imprisoned in the 1940s, I believe, by the KGB, the NKVD, as it was in those years. He was because he was a Rav, he was released from jail and he went back to being a Rav. He was not daunted by them. And eventually he made his way, he got out of the Soviet Union, he was a Rav in the Bronx. And when I met him, he was already, remember Menachem? He was already, also, maybe...
Norm would
not be. No, Norm would know. This is a Kenossi figure. Your wife maybe would know. He was a little short man with a little whitish beard, the most pleasant of people. And so he used to darshan for the Rav after Shacharis for the retired Jews. He spoke in Yiddish. He was a masterful speaker, a tremendous teacher. And I've never met a master of drush as him. He knew drush, all types of drush, he knew. So one morning he says after Shacharis, I'll tell you first in the original Yiddish that I heard it from, and then I'll translate it. The Gemara in Brocha says that there's a mitzvah to give tzedakah before we daven in the morning. Before we daven. And we learn it from a pasuk, the Gemara says, Vani b'tzedek eches eponecha. Eches eponecha, the Gemara interprets to be tefillah. And he b'tzedek with tzedakah is eches eponecha, come before you in tefillah. And we know, Peter Mekubolim, by Yivarach David, is his man, to give tzedakah before we get to Yishtaba. So he said the following, that a Maggid once got up and said in Europe, he says, what b'tzedek is veisich nish? Of the Rosh Teves veisich yo. Beis tzadik dalet kuf is bis tzedek eshena. He says, the Maggid said, I don't know what b'tzedek is, but I know what the Rosh Teves means. And in Yiddish, it's bis to the keshna means until it touches the pocketbook. You know, there are people, they're very compassionate people. Yeah, they're concerned about all types of things. But when they have to put their hand into their pocket to spend a few dollars to fix the problem, it's enough that I'm compassionate. I'm Yitz, I'm a good Jew in the heart. That's it, you know. I'll offer the mice and bother someone else to give the money for it. There's nobody home. Bengis, Zatal, the Rivet of Yerushalayim, 60 years back, so he once, he had Yerushalmi sharpness to him. So he once wanted to tell off a person that was miserly. So he was going around with a gabbai to collect for a tzedakah, and the gabbai told him, don't bother to go into this house. This guy is a miser. He has money, but he'll never part with a nickel. There's no use going in there. So Rav Benger said, I'm going in. So he goes in, and this guy, not only was he miserly, but he was arrogant to him. He was a machutzah. So he says to Rav Bengis, he came with a gaba. So I'm sure that the gaba told you that I don't give money. So why did you bother to come in for? What was your purpose in coming in the door today? So Rav Bengis said, I'll tell you why I came. You know, after Meir Vesem Shona, they're going to ask you, why didn't you give money to this almona? So you won't have an answer. So they said, they're going to take care of it. They'll give you an einish. They're going to whip you in Shemayim for that. Then they're going to ask you, what happened to this orphan? Why didn't you give to him? You won't have an answer, so they're going to whip you for that too. So today I'm collecting for its stock. I was afraid that you would go upstairs, and when I'll ask you why you didn't give, you're going to say, because Rav Bengis didn't come in to me. So I came in to you to make sure they're going to whip you for this one too. It's not enough to have a lave type. We have to act upon it too. So in the house of Bris, they said the following. That one has to have a lev tov, to be compassionate, to feel for someone else. Where's Jay? The Chazan was a compassionate person. Chazan Schwartz, Moshe Schwartz's uncle, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. I learned from him what chesed means. New vistas in chesed opened up before my eyes because of my association with him. He was a person that felt the tzar, the pain of every person that was in need. He was bizarre. Visceral anguish because somebody, there was a yid that needed something. He didn't have what he needed. But it didn't end with that. He had an open end. If somebody needed something, He was there and he took care of it too. Not to talk about himself, not to brag, but he did what he had to do. So that's what the Rambam tells us. That's the call of Mahurachim, is to have the compassion, the feeling for someone else. We have to have that. We're not a mensch if we don't. But to extend ourselves, to put ourselves out for somebody else. That's also a part of Mahurachim. Demands both of us. We live in such a fractured world. I have a chavar, a very astute fellow. He's a Raman Yerushalayim, an American. And he tells me one day, he says, you know, I lived there during the elections. He says, if it wouldn't be so tragic, it would be comical. I walk around in Yerushalayim. I don't wonder if Pesach, there's a banner hanging from one porch. It says that every year that's a Yorei Hashem is going to vote for Gimel, Agudas Yisrael. Go another floor down, there's another sign. Then anyone that's a Chored Dvar Hashem is going to vote for the Degel. One more floor down, it says, anyone that has a Shemitz of Yerush Shemayim to him doesn't participate the Bechiris altogether, doesn't vote altogether. If it wouldn't be so tragic, he says, it would be funny. And that's a halbatzar, Rabbi Yisrael. You know, we are geniuses at Shittas. You know, Ramban writes, and if you look, Rabbi Abachaya spells it out a little bit more, based in Chazal, when they were about to enter the Yamsu, so they had four different positions what they should do. There's some that wanted to wage war, and some that wanted to go back to Mitzrayim, and some that wanted to be Mispala. Four different groups. And Moshe Rabbeinu told them, Dabar al b'nei Yisrael, he saw the Rabbeinu Shalom, said, just march into the Yamsuf, and that's going to solve the problem. Now let's just stop and think of the genius of the Jewish people. We left Mitzrayim on the first day of Pesach. For the last 3 days, Paro has been chasing after us. And now he finally catches up to us. So in those 6 days, from the day that we left, first day of Pesach to Yom Shvi'i Shel Pesach, we have four political parties operating with four platforms in 6 days under those circumstances. So Akasha, why we had 45 or 44, I don't remember the exact number, it's one of those two different groups in the Warsaw Ghetto. And this Rabbi says a halbitzar. The fact that we have groups and we have opinions, that's not unhealthy. The problem is, what happens next? Do we know how to bury the hatchet and say, Rabbi said, let's roll up our sleeves and let's work together, let's get something done? Or we're too divided to get anything done. And that's where the Torah begins. Rabbi said, I cry many times a year. And for a very odd reason. And when I tell it to you first, you're going to look at me that I'm peculiar. But then I'll explain to you, I'm not at all peculiar. I look out the window and I see the Hatzolah going by and I cry. Why do I cry? It's a wonderful organization, that's all. You know why I cry? Because in the one thing that we succeeded in doing collectively, despite our differences, for $6 billion, the city of New York cannot get an ambulance to our door as quickly as Atzolah can get there. I asked the chaver of mine years back in Atzolah, how long does it take to get there? He says, not more than 5 minutes and usually much less. And that's critical if a person is in cardiac arrest that he shouldn't go into brain damage. For $6 billion, they can't get an ambulance for the door from the fire department. They finally moved it to the fire department because the fire department is the one service that knows how to show up. If you sit in the fire station for 20 minutes, when they call a fire, you can stay there already because there's nothing to put out. The building burned down to the ground already. And Alpha Pekin, they can't get an ambulance to your house in less than 20 minutes. For $6 billion. And we have a volunteer organization, and with a volunteer, with all our efforts put together, and despite all the machlokes that we have, we somehow overcome that. And we get an ambulance to somebody's door in 2-3 minutes, regularly, all the time. Can we stop and ask ourselves, Rabbi, saying that's what we could accomplish for all the rest of our issues, if we knew how to bury the hatchet and work together? But we're geniuses at fighting with each other. Geniuses. A tremendous maminim, I have to tell you. That one thing at least we could say. Either we're maminim or we're crazy. I don't know which it is. A nation so afflicted by external enemies. Do we have a place on the earth that we could say that we're absolutely safe? No. We have hundreds of millions, a billion enemies that would like to destroy us. So a prudent person would say, listen, you know, if I have five friends and I have 30 guys that are against me, even if I don't get on so well with these five friends, we're going to get on with each other because I have to stand up to these 30 guys. But we Jews, no, we fight with each other. We don't get on with each other. Either the whole world out there against us. So one of two things. Either we're tremendous maminim of Netzach Yisrael or Yishaka, the Rebbeinu is not going to abandon us. So we're nuts. I don't know which of the two. One of those two. But again, there's no other resolution to explain the irrationality of the way we go about our business. And bar none, it makes no difference in what area of the Jewish community we go. If we go in the secular community, if we go in the frum community, and that makes no difference, Baruch Hashem. You know, some things we could have left behind in the Holocaust, in the ashes of the Holocaust, if we would have left some of the machlokes behind, it wouldn't have been a bad idea. But we had to make sure that we're going to revive Jewish life just as it was. And if we have to revive the Guru, part of that is we have to have rip-roaring machlokes, you know, within ourselves too. That's also going to be revived. You know, we couldn't let go. Rabbi Yisai, this is what we have to learn from Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Yisai. Differences of opinion, different views, that's normal and healthy and it's fun. But after that, we have to be able to lay down the hatchet and say, Rabbi Yisai, there's a problem. We have things we have to do. Let's roll up our sleeves and let's get them done. You know, I could think, listen, that I don't agree with everything that you do in your life. You don't have to agree with everything I do in my life. That's fine. I'll stand before the Rabbeinu Shalom, and I stand with honesty before the Rabbeinu Shalom. But let's roll up our sleeves and do what we have to in this world. Baruch Hashem, I've had the opportunity in the last many years to meet and know somewhat Rameir Goldberg. To Rosh Hashiva in Yeshiva University. And shares with me one day the following. If you know about him, his family comes from Shari Chesed, Shalayim family. And he was, as he grew up, he was very friendly with Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the Tzaddik Yudov. So he made a bar mitzvah, one of his older children, he made an Eretz Yisrael. And of course, he invited Rav Shlomo Zalman to come to the bar mitzvah. So Rav Shlomo Zalman came to the bar mitzvah, and he looked around, and for Eretz Yisrael, this was astounding. It was an astounding bar mitzvah. Why? They had one bar mitzvah, there were black hatters and kippot srugot seated at the same bar mitzvah. So Dar Pella. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, Zecher Tzadik L'Vroch, came over to him and said, listen, Mayor, I don't know what you're doing, how you did this, but whatever you're doing, just keep on doing it. The ability to look beyond, you know, shittus, pettiness. Can we only embrace another Jew if my life is literally in danger? Until that point, I can't embrace another Jew. Someone asked me, if I dislike the guy, why should I have Avos Yisrael for him? So I said, I want to ask you a question. If you're in the army and there's a Sinai on the other side, are you going to be happy he's standing next to you with a rifle or not? Who do you want next to you? Yeah, you don't like the guy. He's not your type. He acts some ways. He's a little gross. Yeah, well, fine. But when push comes to shove, do I want him next to me or not? But why is it only when we reach that desperate situation that we're able to transcend ourselves temporarily? Mentioned recently, the head of the Agudah Eretz Yisrael, talking 60 years back, Rav Moshe Blau, Olav HaShalom. So he was once emerging from Shari Tzedek, the old Shari Tzedek hospital near the Tachana, the old Tachana Americas, near Machane Yehuda. It's coming out from there with Rav Sonnenfeld. It's a long, long time ago. Rav Sonnenfeld, I believe, died in, in Tofresh Pei Gimel, if I recall correctly. Something way, way back. Many, many years ago. And down Rehov Yafo was coming a whole parade of left-wing youth marching for whatever their cause was. Far and distant from the philosophy and the hashkofa of Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. And as he observed them walking down Rehov Yafo, what was his reaction to them? Moshe Blau heard him muttering under his breath, Yosef Hashem Aleichem. The Rabbanu Shah should give you bracha, you should multiply, you should become more. They're Yidden. I disagree with them very, very strongly. And they're not even on the same page in Shmiras HaMitzvahs. They're not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, but they're Yidden. This was the reaction of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld to them. Look, is what should we say, Rabbi Yisai? On the simpler level, and the differences that divide us, the Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. This one is too frum for me, and this one is not frum enough. You know, I was in Atlanta many years ago. It was 1976. I went there for a seed program. And there was a Yid there, his name was Hai Auerbach. And Hai was a very good guy, he was a tremendous Baal Chesed. Hai was the type of guy that you could come into his house, and he invited all the Mishulochim could stay by him. He was a good guy. A successful businessman. And he didn't care what standard you had. You wanted to eat the food in his house, it was kosher, was fine. If you held his house, it was treif, and you wouldn't even touch, you know, the water in his house, it was also fine by him. He took no umbrage at it. So we had all types of chevra came to his house. So he says, you know, Rav Feldman, who I, Baruch Hashem, had the schus now to meet in Eretz Yisrael, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, his granddaughter married my nephew, so we shared the chasana and the sheva brachas together. So he says, Rav Feldman, Shlita, gave then a drosha in Atlanta, that every Jew has to have one or some other Jew that's more fanatic than he, that's more frum than he is, that he can call a fanatic, to be comfortable. So he says, I have this guy, come to me. He says he's a Satmar Chosid, collecting for a Satmar institution. He says he's so frum, he says he won't touch anything. He brings his own knife and his fork and his own paper plate and whatever, it's been his own food, he won't touch a thing in my house. It's, I have no problem, it's fine. I accept everybody for what they are. So we get to talking about what time shul ends in Rosh Hashanah. So he says, I tell him in Atlanta, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, whenever we end, you know, Rosh Hashanah. So this guy says, we end 3, 4 o'clock, you know, we finish davening, and then he adds the piece de resistance, the final line. He says, but daftach zend the frumah when they come in ahein. He says, you got to see the frumah in Williamsburg when they come home. He says, you know, he says, this guy, he says, my house, the water he won't touch in my house. You know, a paper, he brings his own, you know, food, his own knife, fork, nothing, he won't touch it. It's fine, I have no problem. It's mighty frum, this guy. About his scale, he also has to have with the frumah. You got to see when the frumah come home. You know, all to be comfortable. We have to have one Jew is a nut, who's, you know, he's a frumah than we are. So he's the meshugana. And then we have to have a guy that's Dafi Kurus to our left. And I'm comfortable. I got it exactly right. That story is good for ourselves. But do we think that we're going to get up and tell the Rabbi Shalom that story? That's going to sell there too. I don't think any of us think that we're such conmen or such salesmen that we're going to sell that story to the Rabbi Nishabar. Let's be real, Rabbi Isai, it's Tisha B'Avens. Accept the Yid for what he is. He's a Shomer Torah Mitzvah. I'm talking, now, I'm not only talking only about the Shomer Torah Mitzvah. Let's start with that at least. At least among the Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. Accept them for what they are. Respect them. Don't diminish them. As someone told me in a communal matter, I was speaking to a Rav a few days ago, and he said, listen, you don't have to accept, I don't care if someone doesn't accept what I do. I have no problem. They have every right, they don't want to accept it, I believe it's fine. They don't want to accept it, that's also fine. But at least one thing do for me, he says, don't tell false stories to people about what's going on. Don't do that. You say you don't want to accept it, it's your shita, your standard, it doesn't, it's fine. But don't sell false stories about what I'm doing. You know, someone sold a certain false story, and I happen to know it had to do with a certain person, and I know that it's false. That it's untrue. Because I'm the one that shotgunned that guy to him in the first place. So I know the guy that I sent to him. So I know who the guy is. So he says, you don't have to accept what I do. You can say you have a different standard than me. I have no problem with that. I'm not insulted. It's your choice. But why be negative and false about what I'm doing? Don't say something which is untrue about me. Say you don't want to accept it. It doesn't meet your standard. It's your sheet. That's fine. I have no problem. But don't talk things which are fictitious about me. At least that much of us respect the frumkeit of someone else. It's my company. It's not exactly my company, but respect him. Give him his due. If we implement that, Rabbi Yisai, then we've done something with this Tisha B'Av. And if we don't do that, then what we bother to fast for 25 hours? Might as well have been eating the whole day. May the Rabbanu Shel Olam grant that we have a little desirous within ourselves to reach out a little bit, to embrace a Jew that's different than we are. Let's go out of our way in the coming period to embrace the Jews that we perceive as frumer than we are, and the ones we perceive as less from than we are. Embrace all of them. Accept them equally. And accept them even if they don't accept us. Accept them anyhow. It's also part of it. If we do that, we will have accomplished something on this Tisha B'Av, something meaningful, which will bring the Gulas Yisrael at least one small step closer. A good year.